In the name of Jesus, again, while many countries would enjoy to do this, yet we have this opportunity. I think it's a tremendous blessing to come together in this way and to be taught. That was God. That was the plan. That's the plan of the gospel, is to really through the foolishness of preaching, that men would be saved. Appreciate the thoughts there this morning on Joseph. I have marveled over the years at how many different topics have been taken out of the book of book of Samuel there on Joseph's life. Amazing. I've heard Bible schools taught through the life of Joseph and many, many different topics out of that book. Beautiful, beautiful story. We have a topic before us. I was asked to share on this topic, and I must admit I struggle some, because I guess it's this way with any teaching that you do. The chance of being misunderstood or misinterpreting something seems to be very high. But I trust that by the grace of God this morning we can... My heart would be to lay out a principle, not necessarily the exact do's and don'ts in some of these things that I'm going to share on, but I hope that by the end of the message, you got the principle. We're not just going to dwell a lot on one specific thing. As far as regarding technology, we're not going to zero in I'm not sure how it'll all go here, but we'll trust the Lord. You know, there's so many areas in life where we can be snared. I am just amazed at when we just really become honest and evaluate some areas in our life. I find that sometimes we get snared unbeknownst to us, and we get the opportunity to repent from being caught up in this world's system. So I would like to pray here this morning. We'll just spend a moment here praying. Father in heaven, we call upon you this morning, recognizing, Lord, that you are in full control. We know, Lord, that nothing passes your gaze. We know that every person in here was not an accident. We know that you are very, 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 very interested in every human being. We know that you really care, to the extent that you sent your Son, your only Son, Jesus Christ, to come and give his life that we might have life. And it seems, God, there's very few that find the narrow way. Yet we know that your Spirit is still knocking on the doors of many hearts this morning. So we just ask, God, as we endeavor to go through this message here, that you have that you would open the doors and some doors and close others, God. Whatever you don't want me to share, we just ask, God, that you would guide us. Pray, Lord, for peace, calmness in my heart this morning, that I could convey clearly the things that you have laid on my heart. But Father, we ask that you would send your Spirit. Bless us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how many of you recall that I shared this message. It's been over 3 years ago. I don't remember very many messages from 3 years ago. But Probably the biggest burden I have on resharing a message, the biggest challenge I find on resharing a message is to get the burden of the message again. We don't, the last thing we want to do this morning is just share a bunch of information, and we go home a little more informed than we came. That should not be the case, but that we would go home with a burden to change and to be changed. And not only in this subject that I'm going to share on, but there's many areas in life. We could go through the pews here and ask each one, what is God working on in your life? What is God working on in your life? And we would hear a variation of different things that God is doing in the hearts of humans. And that's a joy. I think it should be that way. It's part of taking us from glory to glory. We'll do our best to cover all the... We have A, B, C, and D here that I don't have up here yet. And we'll try to cover those the best we can. And I would just ask that if there's anything that is not clear when I'm done, please ask. If it's something that I said that is not correlated with the Word of God, just please come to me. I by no means want to share something that is off balance with the Scripture. Nevertheless, some of these subjects are a little hard to go directly to the Scripture and just pull out Scripture verse for verse for some of these topics like this. But I have found in my life, I'll just be upfront with this, that as my wife and I evaluated this subject again and we talked about it, I was discouraged in my life to find that I had failed. So I'll be the first to admit that these areas that I'm going to share on are needs in my life, and so don't think that this is for myself. Well, one of the first topics that we would like to talk about this morning is A here, the makeup of the mind. And the reason I choose to speak about that first is unless we get a hold of how our mind functions, and I will by no means have enough of time we will barely get started on that subject and we'll need to move on to the other ones. But the mind is so intricate, so detailed, yet so complex, yet so loaded with information that we can just barely wrap our minds around. Do a study yourself. It's really something. And I had to think of back in Genesis chapter 1, we see God creating the earth. We see Him coming to the what I call the pinnacle of His creation. In Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image." And so each one of you this morning is made in the image of God. Can you grasp that? A holy God, we created like Him. We find ourselves in this mortal body, yet it seems sometimes this body of flesh, we tend to get snared up. But there's a day coming when we can put this thing off and to be clear from this body of death. But as I studied Genesis 1:26 there, I see one thing specifically jumping out at us, and that is that a holy God in heaven wanted a relationship with humanity. He wanted a relationship with something else on the earth except the animals. So He creates this human being, and within the makeup of this man, He puts an understanding of good and evil. And then He places them in that garden, and I see God desiring, think of it. It says there that God came and walked with Adam at the cool of the day. So we see a picture of, I don't understand this, but God coming down desiring to walk with Adam. And it's that way today. We are created in His image and God would desire that we cultivate a relationship with Him on a daily basis. And it all begins on our knowledge and our thinking and our thought pattern about God. Galatians 4:9 says, "But now that after ye have known God, or rather are known of God." So God knows us. God sees right into the very depths of each one of our hearts. We can't run. Job tried and it didn't work. Or let's even, if we bring it closer home, how many of us tried to run from God for years? I did, and it just didn't work. Remember an old minister saying, "Be sure your sins will find you out." 1 Corinthians 8:3 says, "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." If you love God this morning, God knows you. He knows whether or not the desires of your heart are for, like that song says, "More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee." So with God desiring relationship, and I think that's really our purpose here, is it not? We cultivate relationships with each other. How much more does the God of heaven appreciate when we come to Him and we ask God and we make our needs known? We love when our child comes to us and says, "Dad, I need this." And if it's a real need, then we do everything we can to help them in that need. The word in Genesis 1:26 there, the word "image" simply in the Hebrew means resemblance or a representation. Are you a representation? Am I a representation of God? The word "likeness" there in the Hebrew means resemblance, shape, or similitude, something very similar. When people look at me, do they see a similitude of God? I am humbled when I think about those things. Created like God, our bodies. There's things going on in here, in this body that I live in, that I don't even know about. We have cells that are too small to see with the naked eye, but yet, microscopically, even a drop of blood is loaded with many active organisms that are moving about, doing something. And I just had to think of the body and the details of the body and how that we can take that analogy and place it side by side with the analogy of the church. And how that if the body is healthy, it's going to move ahead. If the church is healthy, it's going to move forward. Beautiful, beautiful analogy there. I'd like to start here in the first part of our teaching here this morning regarding the makeup of the mind. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." Now, bear in mind, in your King James Version Bible, your English words don't always mean the same. So it's always good to look up some of those words. We don't realize at times what we're reading. I have found the word "mind" there is not talking about this mind. It's talking about disciplined and self-controlled in the Greek. A sound mind, a disciplined mind, a disciplined person. In Matthew 22, the Pharisees gathered and asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength." The word "mind" here is a little different than the other word "mind." The word "mind" here in the Greek is deep thought, imagination, and or understanding. Deep thought, I'm to love God in every deep thought. With my imagination. Mark 5:15, Jesus comes to the country of the Gadareans here, and he meets a man. The man was the man was living amongst the tombs there. He was demon possessed. They couldn't even keep any clothes on him. He was a very scary person to be around, obviously, from what I can tell. And the man himself didn't entreat him. The devils entreated him and said, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God," or whatever he said there. And the demons asked Christ to not torment them yet, but if they could go into, did they ask if they go into the herd of swine, or did Jesus just send them there one way or the other? They ended up in the herd of swine there. And the swine went down a steep place into the water. And later, the people from this country seen this man clothed and in his right mind. Here we have another word, mind, again. This word is also in its Greek context here. This is very similar to the first word I gave you coming out of, where did I read that? 2 Timothy. A sound mind, sane, moderate, self-controlled, discreet, or sober. So we see a man who was driven by demons, and all of a sudden we see him closed very clearly in a mind that's reasoning, functioning properly. The mind, when it is healthy, is a tremendous tool. It is capable of making split-second decisions. Isn't it amazing? You know, you face up with a decision, and you need to make a decision right now. You can't wait. Some decisions have to be made immediately. The mind jumps into gear, begins functioning, and immediately a split-second decision is made. We are made in the image of God. I've often pondered already, I wonder what the mind of God must be like. When I think of creation, I think of salvation, I think of the words that Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Envision the mind of God. What? It's marvelous to just think about this place. Because if God thinks it, that's how it will be. 3 points here on the mind. The mind, when it's healthy, is a marvelous tool. The mind must be trained. I find in my life, I don't know how you find it, we're all the same makeup. The mind must be trained to think correctly. Many years I spent with a mind that thought wicked things. And after my conversion, I want to cause my mind to think properly. One thing we may not realize, but you can study this for yourself, the mind is running at a high rate of speed, just incredible. And it's storing information as it comes in. That's why there's times when you can go back and you can pull up something in the mind and say, "Oh, yeah, I remember that." Well, the reason you can is the mind is layering information. And that's actually where that information center is actually a very small part of the mind. The image of God, think about it. Some of the information that comes into our mind will cause us to laugh, cry, feel discouraged, or encouraged. That's part of the emotions that are tied into the mind. It's amazing how we're created to work. And I think the better I understand how we function as humans, it just helps me in my life, I feel. You know, I could ask some of you about something in your past. Do you remember so-and-so incident immediately, even if it's 20 years ago? You will pull that out of your mind and you could give me the story word for word. Well, the reason is because your mind, if it's something tragic or something really, really fearful, you will store that away and you'll hardly ever forget it. That's how the mind works. And then there's some things like today, we'll preach this message and the mind will eventually forget it. So our makeup, I've just been really amazed thinking about the mind and how God has created us. When we are faced with a fearful situation, we don't meet bears around here, but let's say we met a bear, or we met a something that's really fearful, an armed man or somebody scares us in the dark, the mind will immediately kick into gear, and there's two things that'll happen. The first thing that happens is the mind kicks into the survival mode. And that survival mode, out of that, two things will come. It's the fight or flight. Either we'll run or we'll stick it out. See what happens. That's the initial thought pattern of the mind. Now, we could go take that subject and talk about non-resistance and so forth. I understand that. But another thing that happens with, as this mind being a message center, immediately as your mind starts processing what's going on, there's a couple other things that will respond in your body. Your heart rate's going to go up, your breath's going to come fast, and depending on the situation, your facial features will even be distorted. Trying to figure out what's going on. And after it's over and everything calms down, you have two common things that will happen. Crying or anger. That's just common. We've probably all, many of us have experienced those things. The little bit of information that I'm going to share with you this morning on this subject, you'll layer some of it away, some of it you won't remember. But that's fine. We can only take so much. I marvel at the capability that God has given us to reason and to even make a decision between good and evil. There's five important communication tools, or let's call them the five senses. School children, five senses. Can you name them off for me? Anyone? Taste? Smell? Children? Hearing? Okay. Two more. That's another one. One more. Feeling, touch, you're right. Taste, sight, hearing, touch, and smell. And by now you're probably wondering why we would bother bringing these things in. Well, these are a very important part of our makeup. It's just the reality of it. And as you'll see, the further we go here, this makeup has been used by some others to snare us at times. Did you notice, this is not only for children, did you notice, sometimes we say a child is always asking questions. Well, that's because they're learning. They're learning. They don't have much information yet. But if you ever really pay attention to your mind is also asking questions. You get a text message that says, pray for so-and-so. Well, what's going on? What's happening? And immediately your mind starts asking questions. We could go on that subject, but just pay attention to your mind sometime and notice how that the mind is continually asking questions and then we're answering them in our mind also. It's just a God-given. You know, we sometimes think of a 2-year-old, 4-year-old, 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old. We think of them as constantly asking questions, or teenagers, but I find in my own life that's very, very real. I have a lot of questions. I don't know how you feel, brothers, but I come to God with many questions. And I don't necessarily always get answers, but I get peace. If we'd bring those questions and just lay them before the Lord. Because we can't handle that. We can't handle all those things that plague us, that want to plague us. So we have the opportunity as believers to take them to the throne of grace and just lay them down. Is it always easy? No. It's not. But that should be our desire. Jesus said, "Come unto me if you labor, if you're overloaded, I'll give you rest." I'm just going to illustrate real quick here an illustration that I made just to help us understand why we hear so many questions. You know, we're going to use 2-year-old Johnny here for an illustration. And to 2-year-old Johnny, that mud puddle over there is the most fascinating thing that he has ever seen, and he wants to do his best to get in there. And well, he's never experienced that before. He doesn't know what mud is. He has never been there before. And so while it may not be wrong for a 2-year-old Johnny to experience that, there comes a time in Johnny's life when he will have to understand that we don't just go experience everything that we desire to do. So 2-year-old Johnny, with his typical 2-year-old mind, he's learning. He ends up in the mud puddle. You know what? It's God ordained. It's not necessarily wrong, because that mind is learning, and by God's grace, we can help curb that mind the correct direction. You know, not long after Johnny's experience with the mud, his attention catches, something else catches his attention. He sees Rover over here in the pen. Now, Johnny knows it's a dog. He grew up with that dog beside him, but Rover's in a pen, and so Johnny is over there, and he starts fiddling with the latch. Well, all of a sudden, what Johnny doesn't realize is that Rover would be just gleeful to be out of that pen. Well, much to Johnny's despair, he pulls the latch. Rover doesn't need anybody to open the door. The door swings open, plows Johnny flat, and there goes Rover. It was God ordained. He learned something through that. See, Johnny's inquisitive mind is only doing what God designed it to do. But as he grows older, he must, with the aid of his parents, learn to curb his desires. I'm just, in hopes, preparing our minds to, before we jump to our next topic, title, you know, are we getting the point? How are we as dads? We hear a sound in the night, we check it out. The mind starts working. We get up. We go look. A problem in the home, we analyze it. We talk with our wives. We sit down and we talk with the family. And then we try to move ahead by the grace of God. The mind is constantly trying to figure things out. Just pay attention sometime. Especially for us as men, we are geared to box it up and to come up with a solution. That's how we are. That's what we're created to do. Now, it is very good for me to be balanced with a wife who helps me balance out in some of those things, because sometimes we can get too much that way, too many box brain ideas, I guess. Again, the mind sees, the person sees a need over here, the mind kicks in gear and says, let's minister to it. We all know what that feels like. The mind kicks in, and we, whatever that need is, we go help. The other day, we had a couple silos go down in our community. The mind kicks in gear, and we spent some time that evening yet and the following day doing some cleanup. It's how we're natured. It's God ordained. It's perfect. It's complete, it's detailed, it's very complex, but it must be channeled. We cannot just allow that mind to reign free. And probably one of the greatest hindrances is not necessarily what we do, is more what happens up here in the mind. Because many men who kill other men, they call it premeditated murder. And it starts up here, does it not? And it starts in little things like not forgiving. And well, we'll leave that. Two-year-old Johnny continues to grow here, and he finds it's a continual problem for him to, and his parents also notice this, that it's a continual problem for him to find, to keep him channeled the right direction. He always wants to experience that next thing. Well, as Johnny grows up to 16 years old, with the aid of his godly parents, they can help him establish good Christian Bible-based guidelines in his life. But the world has so many things to offer Johnny at 16. And they look so good. Actually, they even look so good that he can't quite figure out why mom and dad would not agree with some of the things. But at the end of the day, Johnny does not have the experience that the parents have. And so Johnny, as he gets converted, as he listens to his parents, Johnny learns that it's not that his dad doesn't love him, but it's that his dad really loves him. Therefore, he sets borders in the home. What am I getting at? As I pondered on this subject, I found that the media is targeting the mind. We'll speak about this for a little bit. We will barely touch what we should touch here this morning. But we'll try to lay just a bit of a principle out, Lord willing, to try to help me understand what is really happening. Do you remember what I was telling you just here a minute ago, that the mind likes to get a hold of exciting things. The next exciting thing. It's just how we're created. It's not necessarily wrong, but it needs to be channeled. So, if you notice what the media does and what they're going to portray, just pay attention to headlines, not as much as what they're really saying, but pay attention to headlines. They want to captivate you into reading their story. True or not true is beside the point, but they want to catch your attention. So, what the media really wants is a word that I don't think we find. Yeah, we do find it back in, don't quote me on that, I'm not clear on that. The word drama is what I'm looking at. Now, they had plays back in the Roman Empire. I don't know if they called them dramas or not. But a drama is an exciting play, something that excites you. And you go home kind of feeling mildly impressed by this drama. What the mind really likes is drama. We get a hold of that pretty quick. We like that next exciting thing. Something happening, something going on. excitement. It's appealing. Again, we see our mind is at work, and it's not necessarily wrong. But again, channeling our thoughts. But if our life only hinges on the next drama, we're going to find that between this vacation and that vacation, there's going to be nothing but emptiness. This movie and that movie, if you may, there's going to be nothing but emptiness in between, because we want the drama. Something excites us. Something that gets us going. And so if we only live for that moment where we have the next exciting thing, we'll probably find ourselves empty in between there. A drama is a play on a radio, a television, and the second part is an exciting and emotional or unexpected series of events. Don't know what's going to happen next. Well, we find ourselves living in a day like that right now. We really don't know what's coming. But has it been any different in days gone by? I don't know, but it doesn't seem like it when we read history. Media simply means the means of mass communication. Communicating in a massive way, throwing it out there, and the whole world can get that thing within seconds. It's really something. It is really something. But what has concerned me, or has been a challenge as I've thought about this, pondered about this, they have snared many by captivating their mind. The makeup of our desires for drama, I've noticed that the media has used to snare many, many people into a toxic life of media abuse. And I'll share a little bit more about that just here shortly. Notice when you open up your screen and you type into your Google search bar, you're looking for whatever, you have pop-ups at times. Those pop-ups are only seconds. But even though they're only seconds, the mind has still caught it. That's the idea. That's a certain way of advertising. It's supposed to catch you. See, if they can cater to your mind to make you think that you need it, I need it. I shouldn't say you, I should say I or we. If they can cater to our minds that we need it, then we'll probably start going down that road. And whatever it is, eventually we'll end up with it. So they're out. They have learned that they can catch people's attention. Again, I'm not saying it's all wrong. I'm just bringing out some points here. But if we really look at the core of what is happening in our media-soaked society, we find that at the underlying core of that thing, there's drama. And it is created to captivate our attention. And what it really is entertainment. Entertainment lies at the core of this thing. Remember, when you open up a YouTube video, on the right-hand side, left-hand side of your screen here, there's always probably 30 more that are ready to play. Do you understand where I'm going? It captivates your attention, and as you watch this one, if it's only for entertainment, you will be going through the list of videos on the right-hand side. If it's only a video to watch how to fix a dryer that doesn't dry anymore, that's not really exciting. You'll watch it and then you're done. Before I go any further, I should make a bit of a disclaimer. I'm by no means saying that it's all wrong. My thrust is against these devices for entertainment is my burden, I guess. That's where my burden lies. And I wonder sometimes if if we're not taking a slow, gradual steps towards that, I don't know, but I was really burdened as I talked about this with my wife and just noticed some things in my own life. So it's enticing. It catches us. Now remember those five senses that play a major role in layering our minds with information. Now, did you ever notice how that they will mess, the media will mess with all five of those senses? Sight, number one. Hearing. And if you're hungry, you see that sign for that cheeseburger, you can almost smell it and taste it. And so it's actually catering to all of our, not necessarily wrong, if we're hungry, yeah, we definitely want to go find something to eat, and that's good. So they have figured out a way that they can cater to the people like that. But oftentimes we see that it's geared towards the entertainment side. I spoke with an old man here recently, who told me that when his grandchildren come home, and this is very recent, when his grandchildren come home, their family time is kind of it's a boring, miserable time because after lunch, each person goes and finds a room and they watch their favorite football game, favorite whatever. And he just encouraged me as a younger father. He said, keep your children off the internet. On the same token, there was another man who said, if we have a family gathering, we have a box by the door and all them cell phones go in there on the way in the door. How much could I learn from that? He said, because we want to have family time. He said, I want to talk with you. Remember, we're going back to what God originally ordained us for, was for relationships. If I sit and talk to you, I can see your facial expressions. And I can see if I said something that maybe doesn't sit well with you. And then I need to apologize, or however, whatever the situation. We're geared for relationships. And we notice, I watch a lot of people through my week, and I notice that many seem to have more of a relationship with the device than they do with people. So I am challenged with that. You know, there was a time in the history of the conservative folks that the people were, our brothers were able to say, no, we don't want the television, and keep it out the door. But what happened when the internet came in, the question has been asked, how did it ever sneak in? Well, it came in through the term of business, is actually how it came in. Believe it or not, you can do a little bit of research and history and find out that's how it came in. Now, there's a lot of tools that we can use, actually really good tools. I use a program called QuickBooks. I really like it. It works really well with what we do. But it's not something that I want to go on just to spend time there. I'm actually ready to get off of there normally, just because it's not necessarily something that really, really gets me going. So I wondered already, not saying that, by no means, hear my heart, I'm not saying we should get rid of these things. I don't know, we're finding our way as parents to know what to do in our homes. But I do think that it's probably due time that we all sit down with our families and just reevaluate when it comes to the use of that little device. And I'll speak just briefly on that later, on some of the things that God showed me in my heart. I was devastated. I remember young married with two small children, newly converted. The gaming was on the rise. Many of you know what Nintendo was. It could still be around. I don't know. But we had these little Game Boys. with a little 3x3 screen. And I remember seeing my 4-year-old and a 1-year-old, or 5 and a 2-year-old, the oldest two, cuddled on a chair with both of their heads in behind, trying to get in behind this little 3x3 screen. And I remember thinking, I am not sure that I like the looks of this. Something just doesn't seem right. And I told my wife that if they don't get that close to look at the books, and they end up squabbling, but when they look at that little screen, they find that we've seen that it could babysit them for hours, and I didn't like it. Something didn't sit well in my spirit. It's a proven fact that children and parents who have an unrestrained diet of internet media do not function well in real life. And we'll look at that here just shortly. Catering to our relationships and communication. Let me just skip on down through here briefly. While we're on that subject, I by no means have time to talk about all of these. But let me just read a few facts that have been circulating here in our time. These are some facts of what's going on regarding media. The average user logs 2.5 hours a day on social media alone, up from 1.5 hours in 2012. The average person will check his smartphone every 12 minutes. 34% of people have checked their Facebook in the last 10 minutes. 40% look at their phone within 5 minutes of waking up. Ooh. I got caught with that one a little bit. No, about 5 minutes, but 65%. Rising to 65 of those that are under 35. 46% of Americans say they cannot live without their mobile phones. Almost half of 18 to 34-year-olds say that their social media feeds make them feel unattractive. We're not going to take time to talk about it. I would love to. But there's an aspect of reading something about somebody else and what they're doing, and if you notice what's posted, just pay attention to what's posted. I marvel that what people post on there is not real life. It's vacation time. It's my boat, my truck. If people posted on YouTube a picture of them sitting at their desk working, or a picture of them out on the job site working, nobody would be interested. A thing would fall on its nose, I'm convinced. But that's not what's on there. Just if you can do research a little bit and find a lot of this stuff yourself. Gaming addiction is to be listed as a mental health condition. Did you catch that? Gaming addiction is to be listed as a mental health condition, and we'll look at that just a bit. For the first time in 2018 by the World Health Organization. Here's something for us as parents. 21% of children feel their parents don't listen to them properly because they are constantly picking up emails, calls, texts, or mobile phones. And I'll just take the opportunity to make a confession right there. I told my wife as I studied this, just pondered this mainly, thinking about all the times that I interrupt a meal, devotions, speaking with my wife or children, and the list goes on. Have that interrupted to speak with a customer, to speak with, and I'll even say it this way, to speak with a brother. While we should want to speak with a brother, but how valuable is my family time? I guess was my question to myself. Is it taking second place to, I got to answer that call. I got to take it. And really, if it's, I don't think it's wrong to take the call. Don't hear my heart. I'm not saying that. There's times when we need to be carrying a phone for somebody who has physical reasons or physical issues. Hear my heart. It's not, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about taking time away. And our children will soon learn what's important to us. If it's the phone or them. 6 out of 10 Americans wish their family members would unplug from technology more often. A study has shown that as mobile phone use increases, so does anxiety. We'll stop there. There is a lot more. How many of us could possibly identify with some of those? I don't know. I'd like to jump ahead to some of the other points here that I have. Let me just give you a quick illustration here of reading versus motion picture. Motion picture. Reading. Reading is creative. So if I tell you the story here this morning, let me tell you a bit of a story, and in your mind you're going to create it. You have no idea what it looked like because you weren't there. But I'm going to give you the story anyways because it's going to cause your mind to think, and then you're going to start creating your own set of thinking on how this really looked. Then I'll give you another illustration on the other side. I will tell you this morning of that storm that went through our area there. We stood on the front porch. I enjoy watching storms. I enjoy them. I'm awed by them. It does bring a measure of fear in our hearts, especially the way that one rolled in. And my children were out there with me in the garage there. We have a bit of an awning, and we could stand out of the storm. The wind was coming on our backs behind the garage. And I was beginning to think that it looks a little rough. One of the little boys said, "Well, Dad, it's almost windy enough to blow the silo down." And I said, "If it blows the silo down, we better head to the basement." And just like that, I heard a roar, and the silo went down. And we headed for the basement. Well, by that time, it was actually over. So in your mind, what you did, you created a scene in your mind on what just happened. That's reading a book or listening to a story told by somebody is creative. You could see my facial expressions, and in your mind, you're creating what you think it might have looked like. That's perfect. That's what we were designed to be. On the other side, it is a proven fact. Sitting down and watching what I just told you is actually, it creates a laziness. It creates a passiveness. How many of you can identify sitting down and watching something in years gone by, watching movies, and there's really nothing creative that comes out of that? There's nothing creative in your mind. Yeah, you remember some points. But we were created to think on our own. What's happening, the movie/gaming industry is causing people so they don't think on their own. And I don't know, I'm not going to say there's an agenda behind it, but I wonder if there's a thrust towards getting people to think the way we want them to think. I don't know, but I wonder. Reading is very, very creative. Movies as a whole will create a passiveness. The producer puts on the audio, the motion picture, and the mind does not have to do much. All you need to do is sit down, relax. We'll read for you. Now, listen to a good story on the CD player or something like that, I'm not talking about that. I think that's good. Again, you're allowing your mind to create something. I don't know if the media industry, if the movie gaming industry really knew what was happening when they started on this road. I don't know. It seems to me in my mind, I remember that I read a quote somewhere that one of the CEOs did not realize, and he doesn't like what he's seeing, but here we are. Again, movies, there's stuff played, there's stuff put in those movies coming from Hollywood that are just less than split second, but the mind catches them. Many times there are more in a lot of those movies, including children's movies, believe it or not. We don't have time to talk about that, but there is an aspect of that is true. Okay, here is the world's solution. What are we going to do? We have people who are intoxicated, I can use that word honestly, with their phone, with media, with Facebooking. It's called intoxication, is really what it's called. Let me just read a quote from the CEO from Digital Detox. Okay, he says, quoting, "Keep in mind that technology is designed to hold you hostage. Thus it is necessary for you to set time limits." Let me just read that again. Quoting from the Digital Detox CEO. Technology is designed to hold you hostage. Isn't that what we talked about earlier? Of that captivation of getting your mind focused on the motions. You don't have to do anything. We'll take care of that for you, they say. Bottom line, it's become an addiction for many. Quoting again here, it's become an addiction for many. What's on the news? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Snapchat, and the list goes on. And I quote again, "Media addiction is a behavioral disorder in which people become so preoccupied and obsessed with social media that it distracts them from engaging in the real world." Have any of us seen situations like that? I have. "This is found to be causing negative effects on relationships and responsibility in people's lives. The whole gaming society has become extremely wicked." You know, I work with a guy who would come to work on Monday mornings and he would say, "I spent the whole weekend playing Grand Auto Theft or whatever." And I said, "The whole weekend?" He said, "The whole weekend." How empty? The whole weekend in front of a screen, learning nothing. Zero. But let's bring it a little closer home. How often do I check the news? How often do I check WhatsApp, if you may? How often do I check my emails? You know, I think sometimes it's out there. But then I have come to the conclusion that maybe it's not just so much out there. Maybe it's closer to home than I would care to admit. If I just spend time Googling around, for what reason? It's endless. It's endless what we can find and buy and so forth. And we buy things off the internet for your information. I'm not at all saying that we shouldn't. We do. We buy things there. But I've been burdened by what I've noticed in my own life. Those things can become such a drive. Let me just back up a little bit. Okay, we have Amazon with one-click shop. Stop, ship, I don't know. One click. You can set it up in there that you can hit one button after you're done looking at something immediately. That thing, you don't have to do anything else. It's all taken care of. Well, I just started pondering on that a little bit. What has that done to us? What has happened? Well, one thing, and I'm speaking from my own life. So if you feel challenged by some of these things, it's something that I've found in my life as a need. But I have found in my life that what's happened, I have got snared into thinking that as soon as I think that I need something, even if it's a need, I'm not talking about wants, we get on the phone immediately, no matter what the situation, no matter where we're at, I got to buy this. I want it as quick as possible. When our parents never really had the issue, I never seen us go without a meal one time because my mom forgot to order something from Amazon. You know, we think, well, that's kind of comical, but I fear for getting snared into this. I have to order something immediately when I think about it. Maybe it would be better to do what mom did and make a list and only do some ordering on Wednesday. Only go to town on Wednesday if you may. You know, some of these things, that may sound foolish. You know, we're in a different society and I understand, but if my child, brethren, watches me get on that phone every time I have a need, as I call it, what? I was so burdened as I thought about this. What will they do? And then the next question that came to my mind that really shook me to the core, what are our grandchildren going to do? If we have no restraint, I'm not even talking about gaming and entertaining. I'm talking about simple things like having to have it right now. And then we even come, and I'll expose another one. I stood in line this week. I don't remember where it was. And I started feeling this little bit of irritation. I'm here. I want to be served. Well, brethren, you know where it comes from. It comes from the whole thought pattern of not only Amazon. You can have it your way. You can have it as fast as you want. If you pay money, you can have it at your door the next day. And the list goes on. I fear for those things creeping into our thought patterns and motivating our lives in a negative way. And our children are reading the story. I have been so challenged just thinking about that. The Bible says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The world, the Lord is at hand. I'd like to read to you a conversation that I had personally with a psychiatrist from California. This psychiatrist works with people from 18 to 30, 18 to 30, no, here I have it, 18, 12, 12 to 17. I thought it was higher, but he said, I deal with mostly young people from 12 to 17, and what they do is, this is a place of digital detoxing. People can go, they leave their phones. Just think about this. 12 to 17. We had a fairly lengthy dialogue as I was pondering on sharing here. I've been hearing that there are places like that, and I finally just called one, and I ended up talking with one of the owners, and we had a lengthy dialogue. But what amazed me, all the principles that he gave me that they're working on with these young people are biblical principles. But when I challenged him about the scripture, if they're taking a Bible view, he said no. But what he didn't know was he was following the biblical principles. I was just amazed. These young people are using the internet gaming, Facebook, Google, music as an escape route for the uncomfortable things in their life. We call it, I'm quoting, media abuse. He said it's the same as alcohol abuse, eating disorders, or drug abuse. I need to make something clear here. He said it's as bad from 17 to 60 as it is from 12 to 17. Sorry, those of us who are older, we're not going to get out of this one. It can be just as bad in older age. He said some of these young people, what they deal with, they are so media saturated that when they start to work with them, these young folks are not able to hold a decent conversation. Now, that's one thing I've been noticing in our society. People will not look you directly in the face. And what that is, well, that's something else. We're not going to bother going there, but I think part of it is associated with what we're talking about here this morning. People who excessive email, Facebook, dumbs down the need to converse. I asked him what they do to help these people, and he said, we have classes, we teach them to work, play, enjoy nature, and even more, to help them learn to hold a decent conversation. I was just, you know, we come back to relationships. God designed a relationship with humanity and humans relating with one another. Here's a few thoughts on abuse that I had. The word abuse simply means a corrupt practice, improper or excessive use is what it means. 3 points. Number one, would we be devastated this morning if someone here was bound by alcohol, tobacco, and drugs? Would that abuse, somebody abusing those things or immorality, would that be a big deal? I trust it would be. We would be tremendously concerned. Many of us have been delivered from many of those things. Number two, would it be just as devastating to us if someone here this morning was so addicted to their phones, media, sports, and so on? Would we be as concerned? Would I be as concerned? Number three, could this be a form of idolatry? Moving on, are we influenced by the world culture, or are we influencing the culture? See, we are constantly filling our minds with something. We know that. I don't have to tell you that. We know that our minds are constantly being filled with something, and the necessity to fill it with good things. Just an illustration. If I spend Saturday night watching a good movie, or YouTube if you may, or just simply spending unnecessary time on my electronic device, and I get to bed late, and the preacher has a message about salvation, and actually I'm fairly tired, and I'm not connecting. The amazing part about it is, what we feed grows, and if we feed on those things, that's what's going to consume our mind. And the minister's message the next day is going to be rather boring, because as a whole, it's not exciting. It's not drama. It's not something that captivates and holds my attention. You understand what I'm saying? If I am bored by the Word of God being taught on a Sunday morning, I have a tremendously deep heart issue. But yet, if I would log the time on my phone, would it be shocking, the difference? The time on my phone, I don't know where it's at. As far as, I'm not going to speak for anyone, but would it be different? I can barely stay awake or listen to the minister, but yet I have so much time to spend on the phone doing what? I've been so challenged just to really evaluate, what is my time spent on? And why do I have to have that next thing that I need right now? That's why we see sprouting up left and right around us exciting church services, big bands leading to big screen churches and so forth. I must say, I can honestly say this from my life, a simple walk with God for the last 12 years has been a blessing for me. It's actually been exciting. God has done so much in our lives, and the beauty of it is I get peace. I can be free. Last question. Could I be snared? What's our solution? Philippians 4:5 says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Justin Martyr said, "To yield and to give into our sinful desires is the lowest form of slavery, but to rule all over such desires is true freedom." Coming from Justin Martyr in 8200, I think it was. Just closing here in the last couple comments, I have a few more points that I'd like to make, and then we'll close. If we're here this morning and our life seems to be empty, seems to not be fulfilling, if I wonder this morning what my purpose is here, then I would encourage us to, first and foremost, go before God and just say, "God, what is it?" And then maybe take an honest look at the log on your phone and just really pay attention to that log and say, "Where is all this time going?" I can assure us this morning that if that thing becomes my focal point, there will be an emptiness within my being, for sure, because it's not fulfilling. Can we use it as a tool? Yes, I believe so. But I have noticed in my life that sometimes it's become something that I just slide out and I'm a little distracted. And you know, this morning it's not only for the young people. I think it goes to us as parents because we're setting the example. It's not only for the youth. And I've been, my apologies to our children and our young people if we have been there, of just falling prey to this thing. I feel like it's such a challenge to my heart. What we feed grows. Let's keep that in mind. 1 John 2. I'm just going to read these verses here. Verses 15-17. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Am I saying that we should not have them? That's not what I'm saying. We're in this day, I think we can use them in an ethical manner, these devices that we have. Whether a man has a phone or not, if a person has a longing for wicked things, he'll get them one way or the other. Not having a phone is not the answer. But the question to us as fathers is my plea, I guess, this morning. We are charting a course in our home. And may it never be that we watch our grandchildren and we say, "Oh God, how did this ever happen? I don't understand. Could it be that I got so addicted to my electronic device that I couldn't leave it out of family worship, the lunch table, family gatherings, whatever. You fill in the blank. Services, if you may. All those things. Is it a big deal?" Well, I think it could be. I think it could be. Let's just evaluate why we're... Let me just reiterate something else that I've just really struck a note in my heart of... If I am selling we've probably done this. If I am selling a dog on wherever on Sunday, is that a big deal? I never spent a whole lot of time thinking about it until recently. But let me just take you on a couple steps further in that thought. If I sell a dog because it's so convenient, nobody can really see that I did it, versus not responding to that person by Monday morning, My children might just want to sell or buy their vehicle on Sunday. What will my excuse be? Brethren, what will our grandchildren do? I've been so convicted. Do not allow that thing. I have not done so well. And me and my wife, we've actively taken some action in our home between me and her on some areas. 3 points. Number one, have I fallen into the trap of allowing media, movies, sports, and so on to captivate my attention more than the Word? Number two, do I have an accountability with my phone? Number three, laying aside all excuses, what would I say before God regarding my internet usage? Jesus said in Matthew 11, some of the most beautiful words that I think I ever heard Jesus share. He said, come unto me. Just come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. If I feel like I have erred in these things that were spoken this morning, we have a cross. We have a place that we can come and just lay it down and say, God, just drill me out on it. I don't want this thing to captivate my life. And God forbid that if I'm in a conversation with somebody, that I need to answer that phone. Unless it's obviously if we know that somebody's passing and so forth. But is it a big deal? Well, maybe it could be. What it is, it's a distraction, and the person might get the feeling that I really didn't want to talk to him. So I don't know. These are thoughts that came to me as I was evaluating my own life regarding this subject. Is it really that important for me to answer that call right now? Is it? We didn't even have a phone growing up. We found out when babies were born. We found out when people passed on. If there was a big deal or something, we found out. We surely did. And so as I thought about that, and I thought about where we're at in one generation, I said, oh God, I think that I might have erred in some of these things. Philippians, again, this verse. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So again, I would like to ask for, we have not arrived. Ask for your prayers for us as a family, and please, I did not cover close to what I should have covered in order to make everything clear. Nevertheless, I hope you got the principle of where we could be going, possibly, if we just lay that thing before the Lord and say, God, what do you want to do? Is this a big deal? And so if I said anything that is not clear, please approach me about that.